Lord, you are our light and salvation. Whom then shall we fear? You are the stronghold of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? In last week's gospel reading, we overheard John the Baptizer testifying that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Today, listening in only a few short chapters later, John has been arrested. And Jesus has emerged fresh from the 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. He's moved out of Nazareth to Capernaum, where he himself begins to preach. In perfect echo of the forerunner John, Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then Jesus ventures forth. On the road along the Galilean shore, he sees a couple of fishermen plying their trade. "Follow me," Jesus invites. "Follow me and I will make you fish for human beings." Now, wouldn't you love it if the gospel included here some parenthetical commentary about his hearers' response? I wonder if either of the guys laughed. Or maybe even Jesus let out a little chuckle himself. It's a pretty ridiculous line, isn't it? "Follow me and I will make you fish for human beings." What does that even mean? Alas, we get no such commentary. Instead, we get this tidy little report of what must qualify as the most astonishing call and response ever. We hear that in reply to Jesus' invitation, the brothers Simon and Andrew simply lay down their nets and follow. They do exactly what Jesus asks. So also with the sons of Zebedee, at Jesus' call to follow so that they could fish for human beings, the brother James and John dropped what they were doing and left everything behind them. All of it. Their boats, nets, livelihood, family. Everything. Jesus of Nazareth, the new guy in Capernaum, he comes walking along the shore with this crazy line about fishing for people. You would almost think that no one would pay any attention at all. But they did. Right from the start. Those first four, they heard Jesus' call, and I mean they really heard it. Simon, Andrew, James, John, they listened. They listened to Jesus' invitation and somehow they knew that following would be right for them. And so off they went. They followed. And Jesus set about schooling them all in this new kind of fishing. Last weekend on retreat with the confirmation students and their families and mentors, we held a session called Ask the Pastor, during which everyone was given a chance to ask something they were wondering about and that I might be able to answer. I did have the option to phone a friend, and I had a big lineup of PhD candidates and MDiv students as backup. One of the questions, though, focused on my sense of call to ministry. I don't remember exactly how it was phrased, but the question was some variation of the query, "When did you know? When did you know that you were called?" While I won't run through the whole long tale now, I will say that whatever details are to be found in my storied answer, the thing most striking to me this week has been thinking about how it stands in contrast to the call narratives in today's gospel. whereas the fishing folk in Galilee heard and responded, dropping everything and risking all. Like so many others in our postmodern age, I pretty much waffled on the sidelines. It's true enough, I didn't wait all that long in years, but I did wait. Deep inside, I waited. I didn't know if I wanted to be called. In fact, I was pretty sure I did not. The call to follow Jesus as pastor in the church seemed to take me away from so many other things I loved and wanted to do. And basically, I'd say that I didn't know whether a job that could be described as fishing for human beings was something I was willing to give my life to doing. Indeed, I was much more inclined to keep my place in the proverbial boat. That seemed much less risky, much less costly. And yet, Jesus' words sounded through the depths of my questions and concerns. Compellingly, Jesus' words sounded the depths, even as they had so quickly all those many years before to the fishermen by the sea. And somehow letting go seemed possible. I wonder, though, what do you suppose makes that possible? What makes possible a surrender of all that any of us might have imagined our lives to be, so that we can be drawn into new ways of being followers of Jesus? What is it that must be said or done to break through carefully built walls of caution that most of us surround ourselves by? Our strong defenses built of lifetimes of weighing options and calculating risks. Most of us were raised to value the lack of impetuousness as a virtue. We consider carefulness among our better qualities. And yet we too are called to surrender. We are called to follow the crazy ways of a wayfaring stranger who continues striding into the very midst of people's lives, bidding people, follow me. Equipped only with a compelling message of the nearness of God's reign, Jesus breaks into the patterns of everyday people's lives. And time and again, he asks us, all of us, to follow. He asks that we follow not only to be disciples and pastors, but all the more essentially, to be always and everywhere the ones who will bear his word of reconciliation, ones who will bear a torch of light in the shadows of this world's despair. My friends, Jesus comes. Even as he did all those years ago in Galilee, right here he comes into the rooms of ordinary folks who have our lives all measured out in research proposals and lesson plans, in syllabi and learning agreements. Jesus comes walking along the road of our everyday existences, inviting us to turn whatever it is we're doing, whatever it is, into something new. That, I think, is what this fishing for human beings line is really about. Not so much dropping a line or casting a net. Rather, it's about taking those most treasured parts of ourselves and investing them in, giving them over to the extraordinary work of God's redemption, serving, blessing, being for others. To be sure, we're not all called to follow in the same way, or thankfully enough, even in the same timing. But, my friends, I am confident that all are invited. All are invited to follow, and therefore to let the light of Christ shine on us and through us in ways that dispel darkness. In a moment, we'll sing our proclamation that from the cross forever beameth all God's bright, redeeming light. And just so, our cry will follow, asking that God would give us lips to sing glory, and tongues God's mercy to proclaim, throats to shout the hope that fills us, and mouths to speak God's holy name. All this is following. In days of old, Jesus' ministry began with inviting others to share it. Follow me, he said, beginning not by looking for the most powerful or successful, but instead seeking the willing. Jesus sought the willing and invited them to journey with him as he went about proclaiming the good news in word and action. To those of old, he called it fishing for human beings. Probably it will take a different shape in your life. Employ a different metaphor. But still the call will resound. Even here. Even now. Jesus of Nazareth requests the honor of your presence. Will you follow? Will you follow showing mercy to all and reflecting God's light to anyone who sits in darkness? I pray it will be so for us all, in word and action here at the church and out there in the world. Indeed, may our relationships, jobs, places of volunteering, and beyond, may all these become the arenas in which we hear and respond to God's call. It is God's work, our hands. Come, my friends, Jesus is calling. Let us follow and see where we will go. Amen.